Item 2, from the Office of the Sheriff, providing an informational report on the inmate video visiting system issues and beta test solution. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning. You'd introduce yourself for the committee as well.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee, Inspector Richard Schmidt, Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office.
Bill Wesley, Physical Administrator for the Sheriff.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Right, Mr. Chairman, last cycle we were here to give an informational report on the status of the inmate video visitation system. I won't recap the entire report, but basically the concept that I brought forward was since 2009, we were looking at getting some maintenance money through the capital project, specifically a little over $400,000 to do some maintenance on that particular system. Then we upped the ante a couple of years ago to needing $1.5 million. It was our number one capital improvement project that we were seeking to get implemented. Unfortunately, through whatever determinations were made, we were allocated zero monies for that particular system for the last several years. After we were denied again this particular year, I determined to try a different methodology, which was to specifically come to the Judiciary Committee, explain that we have a serious issue with the system, that it, as of the 1st of actually December 8th of 2013, the complete system broke down. It's no longer functioning with video, and was trying a different venue to see if we could get some potential results in moving forward to fix this issue. The problem is that we still have zero video available. The audio does work, so we still can do audio visits, but certainly that is not the desire, I believe, of the board as a whole, nor is it acceptable with the Department of Corrections. Therefore, we last cycle we came up with two potential solutions, which we offered to the committee, and we are instructed and have done so, met with the county exec's office, specifically the chief of staff and deputy chief of staff, to discuss what potentially we think would be viable solutions. After our discussion at this particular juncture, what we're recommending is where CenturyLink has offered to do the beta test, which we discussed last time, which basically will bring in several video visitation units free of charge. Originally, they had said they'd do it for 60 days. They've upped that to 90 days now, which is helpful. We are in the process of completing the new RFP that will be published shortly, which then will attempt to find a vendor to bring in what the system that I'll quickly describe in summary. As we described last time, the system that we're recommending, based on whatever vendor is chosen, is basically a free system to the county. There will be zero tax dollars involved with it. This will amount to is a company will set up monitors within the jail, basically mimicking what we currently have on the different pods where the inmates are located, and the actual people that would come to visit via video visitation on site, there'll be free booths, and I stress the concept of free on site only, which the public will have access to. Now, how does a $1.5 million system get paid for when there's no tax dollars involved? Somebody's obviously got to pay some money to get this thing up and going. Around the country, we've been informed there's 18 different states that currently use a like-minded system. What it allows for is the community members have access via cell phones, laptop computers, any electronic device to literally hook up through a specific application that they can access free of charge to visit with their loved ones. Now, what isn't free is when that link is made between their technical device and the jail, the vendors do charge a per-minute call. I've seen anywhere from 50 cents up to $2 a minute based on vendors. The only one in Wisconsin currently using this system is St. Croix, Wisconsin, that I'm aware of. But again, this is a free option to the county, and that is the RFP that we're going to pursue at this point. if for some reason that comes before the board and or there's a determination that that system is, or the cost or whatever is something that is suspect, the other remedy, which then puts us back into the capital projects realm, is and as you'll see in our next item, it's about a $1.5 million capital improvement project, which is the second option, which at this point, based on my discussion with the county exec's office and what I've just presented, we're going to try the first option as it, there would be no tax levy with that particular system. That's basically it. I'm happy to field any questions.
Supervisor Broderick.
The questions are obvious, I guess. The first question I have is why the Capital Improvement Committee in successive years passed on funding this. As you point out, Inspector, in your report, the department does the, we very well might be held in violation of various administrative codes for not allowing these folks to, inmates, gives new meaning to captive audience, give the inmates the opportunity to visit with family members. So the first question I would have would be directed to the executive's office, if they have a representative present, as to why this was not funded. Apparently, I saw Mr. Tyler here earlier, but apparently he may have stepped out. Well, secondly, and perhaps they'll pick up on that and come down and agree with us, but secondly, the whole issue of paying for visitation, I think, is likely to be challenged legally if it hasn't already in other jurisdictions where it's been used. And I guess I'm wondering, is there some means test that's applied when people simply cannot afford to visit with their loved ones who are incarcerated? Is there some other vehicle by which they, this could be funded on their behalf?
Mr. Chairman, again, there will be free visitation available. The option requires, however, that the individual comes down to the jail. That visitation, there will be free visitation available via that venue.
How long are the lines in a case like that, do you anticipate? I mean, it seems to me that if there are a limited number of booths or facilities to accommodate this kind of idea, that there might be a very long waiting line that would also, not unlike, it's like a poll tax.
Mr. Chairman, again, valid question. The issue really is resolved. We do have scheduling software that's available whereby if someone wants to come down, if the real issue comes down to how many booths is it going to take in order to prevent what you're talking about, the lengthy lines and so forth, currently there's 24 active booths. People are sign up, there's a list, they know exactly what time their visits are going to be. I anticipate we'll be able to keep that same type of venue moving forward. Again, that's all contingent upon what we find in the RFPs. Will they match up to our current way of doing business? I can't tell you until I get those responses.
Well, given the assumed income level of so many of our inmates and their families, it seems to me that this is probably an unworkable kind of idea, at least in terms of passing any kind of legal muster in the last analysis. And my guess is that we would have a court challenge coming from one quarter or another to try and level the playing field here. I sympathize particularly with, this has been your department's top priority for 3 years running now.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Again, I think the real question doesn't have to do with patching together some alternative that permits visitation, but getting to the bones of why this wasn't funded in the first place. It's a critical function. It's necessary to the well-being of the inmates and to their ultimate, this has impact on recidivism. I think the studies would show when you deprive people of contact with their family, it's a real real negative in the long haul. So the real question, I think, becomes how are we going to fund this and how soon and on an emergency basis if necessary before we wind up paying through the nose for penalties for having violated people's civil rights in the first place. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisors Cullen and Mayo are members of the Capital Improvements Committee, and I know I will be paying close attention to what goes on this particular round or this particular round of projects because this is a priority. I don't remember what the scoring was, except that most projects that had below 19 were looked at a second time and by the staff, by DOS staff, and some scores may have changed, but again, I don't recall exactly where this project was on the list, but I will be paying attention this time for sure as it relates to this particular project for a long-term solution. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Stascunas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Inspector, Supervisor Broderick raised a couple of points regarding what the proposal is here, but the one I want to ask you about is the legality of it. And you mentioned that other jurisdictions are doing this around the country. To your knowledge, have any of these other jurisdictions been sued and lost for denying the rights of inmates and their family based on this framework that you're proposing?
Mr. Chairman, I have not done quote-unquote the legal research on that. The only thing I can tell you at this time is before we moved forward with this concept, I did consult with Corporation Counsel, was advised that it would be appropriate to move forward at this time, and if they want to comment on that issue.
Yes, please. Attorney Grady.
Mr. Chairman, we were asked to look at the general concept of the civil rights of inmates with respect to visitation. I could not locate any case directly responsive to Supervisor Stascunas' question. There is some older case law with respect to in-person visitation, and by in-person I mean actually visitation where the parties can actually touch each other, not through a glass or anything else. And the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, upheld the elimination of that type of in-person visitation 20-some years ago. But they indicated in their decision some hesitation to go beyond that. And so I sort of draw a negative implication or a reverse implication from that decision that some level of visitation would be constitutionally required. The case doesn't specifically address, visitation through windows or video visitation, but it's our conclusion that some level of visitation beyond audio visitation would be required. Where that line is uncertain at this point. I don't know of any cases that have addressed this type of a system. However, I would tend to think that the fact that free visitation is allowed and is provided for, assuming a reasonable number of spots, if you create a line that's 3 hours long, that's probably not reasonable, but if you allow for reasonable video visitation that is free, I think the fact that you charge something for someone who doesn't want to come down to the courthouse and doesn't want to spend the gas or the bus money or whatever to come down to the courthouse, I don't think that would make it illegal as long as there is reasonable free video visitation on site. But again, there's no case law that I know of directly on the point. It's our professional estimate or judgment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So thank you for your answer, Mr. Rady. So it appears as though this proposal would pass legal muster. So I know that it's a shame that we had to come in on an emergency basis last time, and it seems like if we had let it go and not responded, we might have had some legal issues, but I think this plan seems to meet the legal standard, unless Supervisor Broderick has done the legal research and knows of some case law that he can present to Mr. Grady showing that this setup would be unconstitutional or illegal. Another thing Supervisor Broderick mentioned or alluded to was long lines. In your experience, based on how we have currently been doing this, I mean, what kind of lines and waiting periods are there for family and friends who want to visit inmates?
Mr. Chairman, again, I will say we've developed over the last several years. There used to be considerable lines, I'll say a couple of years back. What we've gone to now is a scheduling system whereby people get a specific time to come downtown to set those lines up. They're literally given a number when they walk in, and they know exactly where they're going to go and which booth. So the lines, at least at this point, have been reasonable.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Inspector Schmidt, it's my understanding that this technology allows inmates to see their loved ones, meet with clergy, and it greatly helps with their rehabilitation. And the consequences of this failed technology results in a regression in behavior. What impact have you seen on the inmate population since this system has failed?
Mr. Chairman, what Supervisor Rainey just discussed are certainly in line with what reports have shown around the country when there's a lack of proper visitation taking place. In fact, I read one of those reports this morning that basically states exactly what was just spoken. At this particular juncture, the only thing I will state is inmates want to see their loved ones. There is no question about that. Has it caused any major issues at this point? I can't say that it has. Do I expect if this goes long term that there could be some noticeable issues? I certainly wouldn't deny that that's a very strong possibility.
Have you received any complaints from family members or inmates related to the failed system?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
About how many do you approximate?
I would actually have to ask my jail administrator who's in the audience, Deputy Inspector Niklevich, I think could answer that question better than I could.
Mr. Chairman,
Inspector.
Supervisors, Kevin Niklevich, Deputy Inspector.
That was family.
And express their
concerns. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions from committee?
Yes.
Inspector, priority, there's no difference in priority in terms of someone signing up to come in person versus someone coming to do it online?
Mr. Chairman.
Scheduling, they would have the same priority?
The simple answer is the priority would be based on what type of visit they want. There will be three units, at least on the beta test right now, that will be on site. So obviously that's a minimal number. There will be, I'll say, much more access available via the outside because there's certainly a lot more ways to tunnel in that way. Again, this is brand new to us. I really can't give a definitive answer until we go through this beta test to see how it actually works. I'd certainly be happy to, after we get it set up, respond with how it is functioning. But right now, I simply would be on a speculative nature.
Okay, and then I guess I'm sorry, I don't understand. We have an existing scheduling system that you referred to, right?
Yes.
So how does one schedule an appointment? I want to go visit somebody now. Do I schedule this for tomorrow or next week or what's my process?
And Mr. Chairman, I misunderstood. I thought you were talking about the new system. Again, I'll ask you.
Well, I am in the sense of, I want to know how it's done and then whether there's a difference in the priority between someone who's going to come in versus someone who's going to call in.
Mr. Chairman, that I can't answer. If someone shows up on site, we consider that a customer service issue. We want to give them highest priority. They've come down. They've spent money on bus. They've traveled there. They will get priority access, yes.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Supervisor Broder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it would be helpful if we had, if we requested from the executive's office a statement regarding the rationale for three consecutive denials for something that seemingly is as vital as this in the operation of the jail, and what their attitude is likely to be in the coming budget. whether or not they're open to the possibility of money from contingency to see to it that this system is replaced properly so that we're not dealing with profiteers taking a cut. My assumption is 50 cents a minute more than covers expenses. And if people are profiting from a human need of this sort, I think that's unseemly. And they're only doing so as a stopgap because we're not fulfilling our responsibility to provide this system in the first place. So I'd like to hear what the executive's office's attitude is regarding all of this and what their suggested remedy would be.
Yeah. If they don't come down and give it to us in person, I'll formally request that.
Thank you.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Lethling, given that there is a system that should be working and that CenturyLink has a beta system that will be tested, what's the fiscal impact? My thinking is that there are some dollars set aside for the present system, and if this new system were to be implemented, what's the difference in cost, say, for 6 months, if you have such an idea?
Supervisor, are you specifically talking about the beta system?
Yes, for the proposed beta system. If having been tested, it's operable.
Why, there's no expense that we're going to incur on our own for that system. They're going to provide all the wiring and the infrastructure to that. And they're going to have technicians on duty to service that system on a 24-hour basis.
And this testing is to occur when?
As soon as they could get it in. I think we're talking several months, Inspector.
Mr. Chairman, we've actually had discussion with them this morning again. That system it should be up and running, I'll say, within less than 30 days is a good estimate at this point.
Okay. Well, again, I'm concerned about cost, but I'm also concerned about the operability, that the fact that these inmates' families do need something in place so that this visitation can occur. And again, I will speak to when the Capital Improvements Committee meets, I will speak to this particular project and the fact that this should be a priority. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Inspector Schmidt, I understand you guys have made this capital improvement request for the past 3 years, but from what I read, it appears that you guys experienced issues with the system early on, maybe 2 years after having the system, so about 10-year span before you guys actually made a capital improvement request. Why so long if you experienced these issues early with the service?
Mr. Chairman, again, in 2009, in fact, I looked at that report this morning, so we're going back almost 5 years now that we made our first request for about $430,000 for maintenance costs. Kremer's Engineering still existed at that time. If we would have gotten that capital improvement money, which we did not, very potentially we could have repaired what was quote-unquote breaking or failing at that time. 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. So quite frankly, everything that we've done, if we would have gotten at least a good percentage of that capital money, we may not be in the situation that we're in today. So based on the maintenance, based on the current way this, on the ability of the system back in 2009, everything would have been excellent if indeed we would have gotten some monies. Now it's past the 11th hour or past midnight, and because literally the sheriff's office received zero capital money for the last 3 years, there's just no way we could have done anything else at this point.
Okay. In regards to the temporary system that you'll have in place, you said you have an agreement for 90 days of service?
Mr. Chairman, correct.
And do you anticipate having the new service prepared to go after those 90 days?
With all probability, our normal RFPs, and I've been involved in quite a few RFP processes, we've outlined it. The chart is set up, if you will. There's a certain period of time it takes to get the vendors on board, to read through it, to raise their questions, to do facility inspections and so forth so they know exactly what they're looking at. Then go through the bid process, the negotiation process, finally get the contract before the board in the proper cycle. It usually takes approximately 90 days before it's done.
So do you anticipate following that 90 days that there'll be any duration of time at which we'll be without the service?
Mr. Chairman, the only thing that I'm hearing from the committee potentially this morning is the system that we're RFPing. If the committee and if the county board decides that that's the system they're willing to take and willing to have the free county taxpayer side and then have the citizens paying, if that's accepted, 90 days, yes. If, and I'm just going by what I've heard this morning, if that's determined to be an untenable type of system and the county says we'd rather buy the system, then we're going to be in a different process again, and we'll probably have to re-RFP the concept. So this
vendor that's providing the 90-day service, are they open to potential extensions in that contract?
Mr. Chairman, all I can say at this point is they originally started with 60 days. As of yesterday, they were willing to go to 90 days. That's totally up to the vendor. We'll certainly discuss that with them, see if they're willing. But again, I can't promise that.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Inspector, if you could clarify. So from your last statement, I now have the impression that the RFP is for the same type of provider-provided infrastructure. So we're asking the vendor to finance it in the same way that the beta is going to be conducted. Is that what the RFP will be?
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly correct.
Why would we not ask them to provide the price in two ways? One, if we buy it outright, and two, if they finance it. Wouldn't that give us the best information to make a decision?
Mr. Chairman, based on what I'm hearing this morning, I believe we will be looking at a modification of our RFP.
The report is informational only, but it's my understanding that the beta will move forward and the RFP is forthcoming. Is there anything else on the item? Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The RFP will be released when? I heard you said that there has to be a modification, but I'm looking at when it would go out.
Mr. Chairman, the RFP, actually we had our old RFP, I won't say old RFP, but we literally had one ready to roll regarding, if you will, the system that the county would pay for. That's ready to go. The modifications were specific to the system that would mimic the beta test one. So we're very close on that. I expected to have that done probably by the end of this week. So what we're going to do is I'll discuss it with my RFP writer, and we will probably have it out within no longer than 2 weeks, I'm saying, based on some tweaking that I think needs to be done based on our discussion this morning.
Is the current does CenturyLink predominate in the field, in the industry, as far as services like these?
Mr. Chairman, that I am not aware of. Who is the major vendors involved?
Okay.
My understanding is CenturyLink could have literally, there were talks about them being a sole source based on the particular technology that they have. I don't know that that's correct at this point.
That could be, but you're not. It's not substantiated if that's the case.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments or questions on that item, we'll take item 3, please. Thank you.